This is the OTP presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on paying less for the coverage you need with Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get a quote today at FBHP.com. With Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith. And this is Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Tennessee Titan.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I like saying that. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, that does sound good.
It does sound good.
It does.
It works.
It does. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Tennessee Titans.
That's it.
Yeah,
wow.
It's nice.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The news of your agreeing to the deal surprised a lot of people on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I know you weren't surprised because you're in on it. You're talking to your agent. But in terms of the Titans being in the running for your services, were they in it all along, or did they pop in and win at the end?
I honestly asked for them, for my agent. I said, what's up with the Titans? I kind of said that. And then they really were in, I think, from him telling me. You know, I only talked to my agent to tell them. But when I had, after the season, I gave him a list, and I put the Titans in there. And they were interested in me also, so thank God.
All right, so why were the Titans on your list?
When I got out of the season, I knew I was probably gonna be a free agent. I was just looking around, you know, at, you know, all the, you know, potential spots I can go, and, you know, just the rosters and everything and quarterbacks. And I don't know, I just was like, you know, I looked at Tennessee with my brothers, and we looked at the game or two. And we looked at Will, and we looked at the receivers, and we were like, you know, could be a potential spot for us, so let's put them on the list. And, you know, it's kind of was at that point from there. But what I really was thinking was, you know, I think I could come over there and help them. I think I could come over there and they'll give me the ball. that's kind of how I was looking at it. And I know teams are always making their team better all the time. So it's like, who knows how good we're going to be.
Was one of the things that impacted that decision the fact that there is an opportunity for you to get a lot of playing time and the opportunity for you to make those plays that you want to be making?
That had a lot to do with it. It had a lot to do with it because I was like, you know, man, I want to show these people, you know, not even only that, but I like to get the ball. I do. I want to be someone they look at as like, all right, we want to get him the ball and all the time, and he can definitely help us, especially like in the red zone. You know, a lot of areas I can score touchdowns. I just wanted to put myself in a position where I can, you know, get the respect. And, you know, obviously from my work ethic and me putting in the work and going on the field and doing what I got to do. But at the end of the year, I wanted to, you know, my team to be in a good, successful spot winning-wise. And, you know, I had I had something to do with that.
I know DeAndre Hopkins is someone who you are familiar with. You guys know each other. How much did his presence on this team impact your decision and his skill set? It's got to be complementary to what you're doing,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, when I was looking at it, I didn't want to be by myself because then you can get taken out of the game and doubled and other things. So, yeah, obviously, when I was getting to the point where I was like, all right, there's three teams I want to go to now. I was just breaking it down. I was like, yeah, D-Hop's over there, you know, it could work. It's not that many, a lot of people. You know, the Jaguars just in my fate. Jaguars had just got Gabe Davis. I was like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of us over there. I was like, all right, no brainer right now where I'm going right now. Tennessee's looking really good for me because, like I said, I like to get the ball. You know, I want to help my team, and I want to be one of the guys the coach is looking at. Like, that guy's going to help us, you know what I'm saying? So once they did that, I went to thinking. I was like, both teams are offering good money. I'm not, you know, doing it for the money. I'm doing it to the be good and, you know, be comfortable somewhere. So I was like, Tennessee is looking good for me over there, I think. I just took it. I was like, you know, they're going to use me. They want me there. I know Nick. Nick just came from Jacksonville, so I was like, man.
Nick Holtz,
yeah,
offensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator. I mean, what am I doing? I mean, Nick's over there. I have a good relationship with Nick. We could talk, and it's just, I was like, Will. And like I said, I could see me and Will and D-Hop, all of us, we just got to get together talking. We could be really good. So
Mike mentioned earlier all the swirling media wondering where you're going to go, what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by how few people really understand how many elements go into this? I mean, you're considering a wide range of things when you're deciding what team to play for.
Yeah, it's a Yeah, this was, it was really cool, honestly. Like, you're talking about free agency and all that. That was the first time I did it. I thought it was really cool. It was a lot of emotions in it, but it was really cool because you're like in control of where you go, kinda. And, you know, they're sending offers in. It's a lot of emotion because you don't know what city. You got kids now, you don't know where you're gonna live. It's just like a lot of emotions, but it's a very, very cool process. And I think a lot of people should, be able to go through that because it was something different that I never went through, and I was excited the whole time, pretty much.
Fort Lauderdale guy.
Yeah.
Coconut Creek High School?
Yes. Oh, no. Monarch High School.
Monarch High School. Monarch High School.
It's in Coconut
Creek. It's in Coconut Creek.
Yeah.
Was free agency similar to being recruited coming out of high school as a five-star?
Yeah. But, you can't talk. They only could talk to your agent. But it's kind of like that, yeah. You just don't get the information from them. You get it from your agent. So it is kind of like.
Not calling you at home.
Yeah, they're not calling me at home. Or they're not calling my mom or,
Well, speaking of you being young, do you remember your pre-draft visit here in 2018?
I will never forget it. You know why? Because I got a ticket leaving here, actually.
You got a ticket?
You did? Yeah.
I actually was driving because, my wife's from Huntsville.
So no,
I was just driving.
That's great.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Titans fans in Huntsville.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Awesome, Dan. That's where we live. So I was coming. I drove from Huntsville up, did my visit. It went pretty well. Drove back on the way down. I got pulled over. I got a ticket, so I'll never forget.
How fast?
I was in like 70-something, 80-something.
Okay, yeah.
I remember your visit here. Because we did an interview.
We did?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
Probably did.
Let's check it out.
No way.
Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama. They say that you're the number one wide receiver prospect in this draft. When you hear that, what do you think?
I think, yeah, I am. I definitely think I put in the work, and I definitely deserve it. And, I play for Alabama. I had, three great seasons, and we won a lot. And I definitely do think I am the best receiver in the draft.
Don't you have to? If you're going to be an elite receiver, don't you have to feel that way?
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of respect for all the other guys that are in the draft, but I just think I am the better receiver in the draft, and I do have to have some type of confidence in myself that, or the teams wouldn't want me. So, yes, I am the best receiver.
I love
the
this video, y'all.
The people that talk about your game go on and on about several parts, but I want to ask you about one thing specifically, your route running. You're said to be one of the best route runners to come out of college in years. How did you get so good at that, and how have you perfected all of it?
I think just by watching other guys and trying new things and going out there and doing it in practice. And I'm the type of guy who's, I can watch film on Amari Cooper, Julio, AB, and do what they're doing, mark it on the field. And I think I try to do that, and I just try to find ways to get open, hide behind guys, get in front of guys, and just different things that help works. And I mean, some of the best guys probably do the same thing, and I'm just going to take it from them and just become my own best,
Who do you model your game after?
I think I'm Calvin Ridley, to be honest, but I do have a couple guys that I do like. And I like I said, A.B., Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper, Emmanuel Sanders, Julio Jones. It's a lot of other guys, but I think those four are the ones I watch before I watch anybody else.
What pieces do you take from their game, or have you taken from their game?
Yeah, like a guy like A.B., man, he just gets open. He's known to get open no matter what. So I try to, see what does he do and, what is he doing to get open so easily? And Coop, he's just like a technician. He's like he's a real route runner. He's really good. And Julio, I feel the same way about him. He's just an overall beast. And I just want to, figure some things out he's doing. And Emmanuel, he's a great route runner as well. He's very, technique, like Amari. He sells everything really good, and
I like Alabama receivers so much.
You're good.
Alabama
this is a solid interview.
It is. Play against in practice.
Oh yeah.
You have seen NFL defensive backs already, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. Every day. Every day in practice.
What have you learned going against Minka Fitzpatrick and guys of that ilk over your time there?
Oh man, that I got to bring it every day in practice in order for me to to keep my position and for me to feel comfortable about myself. And I feel really good about that knowing and going to practice that I'm going to get the best work. I got
Anthony Everett, Levi Wallace, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Ronnie Harrison, and just a bunch of guys in the secondary who are going to test me every day to get better. And I'm going to test them as well. it's really good. It helps me in the games.
Tell me something about Calvin Ridley. Not the football player. We know that. Tell me something about Calvin Ridley we ought to know.
I'm a real cool guy. I mean, real cool. I like to hang out, chill. I really like to laugh all the time. When you're funny, I'm going to laugh. If it's funny, I'm going to laugh. That's one thing about me. I mean, I like to laugh. I'm going to laugh.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. I love to laugh. I like to have fun. I want to smile. I mean, I want to crack jokes all the time. I just want to have fun. I'm the type of guy I want to have fun. Yeah.
When you answer the phone on April the 26th and that team says, you're our guy, what's going to go through your mind?
To be real honest, I don't know. I mean, the feeling I got right now is like, every day the draft gets closer, I get this little feeling inside, and it's like, man, so I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm going to say thank you, and I can't wait to be there, obviously, but I really don't know how I'm going to feel or what I really am going to say. I'm just going to be, it's probably going to be so much. I don't know.
Who is the person in your life you're going to be happiest for at that moment?
My mom, because I'll be able to, I mean, she'll be able to do things that she, you know, she'll be able to get a house. She can get a nice car. Just to be able to see her smile and make her feel better and know that she raised a great son and he's going to take care of her now. And, you know, my mom, really, I want her to be very proud.
That almost made me cry.
Did it really?
Did it?
Yeah, I was about to say turn that off. That part right there. Yeah, it's good, though.
That's all right.
Yeah. Why'd that make you so emotional?
I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to cry. Yeah. That's it.
I don't know. It's good. It's really good.
You've lived a lot of life in the 6 years since
Yeah,
there.
You know what I'm saying?
And you don't have braces anymore, but your teeth are perfect.
Yeah.
Well done.
It really
man,
worked.
Man, though, it's like, dang. That's a
you
good
know one. That guy?
I do. That's really a good guy right there. That's a really good guy right there.
What would you tell that guy that would help him for the next 6 years to make him better or maybe not make certain mistakes or whatever? I always think that's interesting because we don't get to show those to guys very often. At that time, we did them with everybody who would take visits. And the only way they aired is if we picked the player, so nobody's ever seen that. So what would you tell that guy?
I'll tell that guy, you're the coolest person in the world. For real. I don't know.
That's good, though. I mean, that's good stuff. You were a first-round pick, and it turned out to be a very good thing. Got to take care of Mom. And here you are in the NFL, and you're a Tennessee Titan now after being a free agent, and you've got a contract that is obviously very special, and you've earned it. You've got to be proud of this moment. We're so happy you're here. Didn't mean to hit you that way. Just thought it'd be fun to take a look at it. You have no idea how happy we are to have you here, Calvin Ridley. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. SeatGeek is now the official ticketing partner of the Tennessee Titans. Whether you're buying tickets to Titans games or any live event in Nashville, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek, the new official ticketing partner of the Tennessee Titans. So,
Titans fans can fan.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
We're just talking. I remember watching that video, which I had never seen it.
Oh, I had never seen that.
Because, yeah. As we said, we didn't. So we did all these interviews. I mean, we've got interviews with guys
with half the NFL.
Right.
It feels like
the Jameis Winstons and people. All these people who have come in-person visits. We used to do that. And they would not see the light of day unless those people were picked by the Titans.
Right.
And it's kind of an awesome thing to go back and watch it. But I just forgot how much I genuinely liked him. Because the people I always like the best in those settings are the people who are, they're just real. They're just real people. And you know, what he talked about was real, and it was just very cool.
Well, in those situations, our evaluations of someone is very different than a scout's evaluation of someone. You know, those pre-draft visits were all part of the process, and we talk to them in a very different way than the conversations they have with the football people.
And how they talk to us.
Exactly.
Before the interview starts.
Yeah.
It's like I had a Band-Aid on my nose, in the middle of my nose.
You sure did.
In that interview.
Yep.
And the reason I did is I was picking up some equipment underneath the stairs, and I turned around and hit a metal, what would you call it?
It's like a support beam.
A support beam. I hit the metal beam, and I knocked myself out.
Yeah.
And I was cut straight across here.
Yeah.
And I bled like crazy.
Yeah, that was a bad sequence there.
And so in that instance, I guess I did that interview because you weren't here. You were probably off shooting an interview somewhere else or working on some other feature.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something going on that day where you and I were dividing and conquering. Yeah. And
who knows
you did.
What it was?
Yeah,
it was 2018.
You knocked yourself out and still went on, and he didn't say anything, didn't even bump on the fact that you had a Band-Aid on your nose.
It was a bad look.
Yeah.
It was a bad look. But again, we didn't know if it would ever air, so I mean, you know.
It didn't really matter
it didn't
that
matter.
Much because you have a one in however many chance. Of...
A one in, at that time, the majority of the guys they brought in were all first or second round picks. Like earlier that week, Harold Landry had been in.
Yep.
And he was a second round pick as it turned out, but people thought he was going to be a first round pick.
Yeah.
So none of these interviews hit, you know, aired. It's like we're talking about Jameis Winston and what a different opinion we had of Jameis Winston until he came in.
Right. 100%.
And we all thought he was fantastic.
He was bear hugging everybody.
Well, when you meet him in person, you get it.
Very endearing.
That's the whole thing. You get, it's not the crab claws and the whole whatever else was going on. It was, and that's why he's still in the league, and that's why teams want him around, because he has that sort of positive influence.
Yeah. Now I'm just happy that we did those, because we have those to go back to every now and then. All throughout the course of a season,
right,
we will be referencing those kind of catalogs that we've created for ourselves of these interviews that we've done with people, but very, very rarely do we get to pull them up and use them in the way that we were able to with Calvin Ridley. That was really special.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. All right, let's hit a few other things through the course of this week.
Yeah.
First of all, Tajay Spears is no longer number 32. He's number 2. Mm. Like or no?
I'm still struggling with the single digits. I know it's old news, but I don't love the way it looks, but at least it's one of his number. He can go with something
love,
strange.
Love,
I
love,
know you love, love it so hard.
Love.
Aesthetically, it doesn't compute in my brain. I don't like the way it looks.
And 32 is a great number.
32 is a great number.
But 2 as a back, oh.
Mike.
So wonderful.
Aesthetically, it bugs. My brain can't get there. I know it's old news. This is not a new thing the league has done. I'll like it in 10 years, probably.
Maybe. Tony Pollard?
We'll see.
What about Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears together?
I like that right now. That is something I like right this second. I think that's a phenomenal group. Tony Pollard was someone that as soon as free agency started, I said, that guy.
He was 20 in Dallas. 20 is open right now.
It's great. 20
But
would
he has not been assigned
phenomenal.
A number.
Yeah.
As we record this, nobody has officially been assigned a number yet.
But double digits, Tony.
20.
Do it, man. 20 is great.
All right, second thing. Nick Folk back as the Titans kicker.
Like that?
Love.
Yeah?
He missed one kick last year.
Yeah.
Outside 50 yards.
Consistency.
And he did fine on the kickoffs.
I'm telling you, kickers are like oxygen. You don't know you need them until you've... Well, it's kind of shoddy.
We've kind of been...
Yeah.
All over the road. I mean, we went through a couple years of bad.
Yeah.
And then went through a couple years of okay.
And now he
did a great job.
Consistency is key. I love it.
Uncle Nick, he'll be 40 during the season next year.
We'll throw a party.
All right. Chido Awuzie is fun.
Yes. Really fun.
And more importantly, he can really play.
Yes, he can play. He's been someone who throughout his NFL career has performed consistently. There's that word again. All the way through, no matter where he is a good performing player. And so I'm excited to have him with the Titans. I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do in a defense that has the potential to look a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. And I'm just really fired up about that. And I like that he understands that he has a name that's hard to say. And he's very patient about that.
Well, and okay, so I didn't look good in that OTP.
See, I don't
it didn't
think
come
you
across,
looked bad, Mike.
It didn't come across well that it's Awu Yi.
It's a lot better.
Thank you.
Have you been
but
practicing?
I don't think I'm going to say it like that on radio and television.
I don't think you'll be able to.
I don't think I will either. And then I've gone back and done some research about how other people have said it. It's just so dramatic a pronunciation. I think a woozy, the Americanization of it, which he says is fine.
Right.
I think it's much easier to say in the speed of a game.
And I think that I really appreciate that he gives you an out with that. He says, in my language, this is how it's said. Mm-hmm. In the American English, this is how it's said. This is cool because I understand.
But how do you think he says it when he walks into a room, puts out his hand and says, hi, I'm Cheeto.
I'm guessing it depends on the room.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if he's just meeting us.
He probably says.
A woozy.
A woozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just recognizing
but
the
I'm
situation.
Really torn because I try to get guys' names the way they want them. It's funny.
And I know that bugs when you don't get it right.
It bothers me because like, another of the pre-draft interviews we did a couple years ago was Kenneth Walker, who's originally from Memphis, played at Wake Forest and Michigan State. Now he's with Seattle. Titans had him in for a pre-draft visit, so we did the interview. When he walked into the room, I extended my hand and I said, good to see you. I said, do you prefer Ken or Kenny or do you prefer Kenneth? He's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I said, no, it matters. I said, you are going to be in the National Football League. You will have reached the highest level of this sport. You've earned this. So whatever you want to be called, you tell me. He goes, I'd like to be called Ken. I was like, good for you.
Great, yeah. Ken.
Well, I mean, I think that's great because I think you earn that right. Mm-hmm. And I think you want to call people what they want to be called.
Yes.
But Ken or Kenneth Walker is a lot different from Cheeto Awuzie or Awuzie. If you're going fast.
Yeah, if
because,
you're going
fast.
Because,
I mean, on the radio, you're going fast.
And you're saying words that are not... And this is hard to describe. I might sound very silly saying it. But football words are... There's a lot of, like, harsh consonant words in the things that you're saying and the words that you're using to describe. There's not a lot of flowing language when you're talking about football. And it's loud and you're projecting. And the way your mouth moves to do that, it would be hard to go from football words that are harsh and direct to a very flowing kind of delicate language. It's all in the way you move your mouth as a broadcaster.
Wow.
I know that was a bizarre thing.
I'm moving on.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, but I mean, I think you're right.
I think it's real.
I mean, that's why I'm sharing with the OT people. That's why I'm sharing with the OT people because it is real.
I was trying to justify.
You did.
Now I feel like I
sounded
silly.
No. I just, how you said it was just so much fun. Especially after you told me to mind my business yesterday in the interview with Kenneth.
No, I said I didn't have
Murray.
Time for you, is what I said.
Well, I think
you could do whatever you needed to do.
You didn't have time for me.
I didn't have time for you.
Have you gotten any harsh judgment about that from anyone?
No. I think people genuinely understood that.
Butt out, Mike?
We needed to continue on.
That you Listen, and Kenneth Murray were having a moment?
How many people do you speak to in the National Football League where they're like, yeah, I went scuba diving last Tuesday, and you're like, oh, sure you did. Like, that's a conversation I've never had with a human before. I'm from Missouri. It's not like there's water there.
Well, Lake of the Ozarks?
Yeah, you're not scuba diving unless you want to see some stuff that you probably don't want to see in that lake. It's nasty. People don't scuba dive in the lake, so I don't interact with scuba divers ever.
Oh, that's great. So now she's the spokesperson for Explore Missouri.
No,
Show me Missouri.
You don't want to, not as a scuba diver, like walk through a cave.
All right, moving on. Lloyd Cushenberry's big.
He is big.
Wow.
Did you know he was that big?
Yes.
Even, I mean,
coming
I
out
read
of LSU, because there were some people who thought he was certainly going to be a guard. And there was one of the reasons that they liked him so much as a prospect across the board is that he could really play anywhere. I mean, he's tackle size. And that's the anchor in the middle that he's going to give them. And what he's going to mean to Peter Skoronski on the left and whomever ends up being the right guard. I mean, it's a big deal.
Well, him just talking about his arm size, and I had never really thought about it, but as a center, you don't usually see people with arms that are that
right.
big. And wow, the advantage that it gives him in so many different ways, just from a leverage perspective.
Well, wild. A lot of centers are really stocky guys. Mm-hmm. The 6'1", 6'2", 300. I mean, there are people who weigh 315, mm-hmm. but there aren't people who are big like this. I mean, when he walked in the room, you thought tackle because of the arms and the...
Just the way he's built.
The way he's built. Yep. I mean, he is... I mean, it's like we call Jeffrey Simmons Big Jeff. He's big like that as an offensive lineman.
I like it.
Yeah, same.
I think it's great.
Kenneth Murray, your scuba diving friend.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Not hired to be Azeez Al-Shaair in this defense. I think there is some feeling among people that he's supposed to be the guy running the defense. I think what they want him doing is just running.
Yeah.
And disrupting.
I got the feeling that he was brought in to be disruptive is a great word. That force. He is there to get after the quarterback, get after the football. Wreak havoc is what I kind of feel like is more going to be his role. Not so much the orchestrating of the defense as a unit. Just get in people's way, man.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is back.
Very exciting. He's been such a consistent person within this offense to where no matter what his role is, he's able to just step in and do what's asked of him. He's a gritty guy, you know? He doesn't mind doing whatever he needs to be. If that's starting in a game, great. If that's coming in as a rotational guy, also great. We've seen him do so many different things over the years. He's familiar with this organization, familiar with the receivers room, kind of where they've come from, where they're going. I think that's a great choice just as a stabilizer for that unit.
Well, he's not there to take snaps away from Calvin Ridley or DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
He's there when those guys need a rest. Because he can play all three positions. He's there because he can be up on game day. He can be, he's really signed to be part of your 48 because he can be up on game day due to the fact that he can fill all the receiving spots. He can be a core special teams player, which makes him part of the 48. If you need him to go play, if somebody gets hurt,
he
can play and be effective. He has certainly done that. I mean, that's what good NFL rosters are made up of, are not just the great players and the highest paid players. It's the good, solid football players who can help you across the board.
That ends up being the foundation of your team is those players.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that having him remain as a part of this team is good for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, he's being signed to help you on Sundays in whatever way that is.
And honestly, if you have a team full of Calvin Ridleys, what you end up with is chaos.
Well, you have the...
Not everyone can be that guy.
Right.
There's one football. Not everyone can be the man.
Well, and what did Calvin Ridley just tell us?
Yeah.
I want the ball.
Yeah.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not going to say that. He's going to say, if I'm open and I need to get the ball, I'd like to have the ball. Sure, I'm a receiver.
Yeah.
But they're different strategies. I want Calvin Ridley to say, I want the ball.
Right.
I want DeAndre Hopkins to say, I want the ball. If you don't have players like that, you don't win.
Right. But if all the players are like that,
well,
sometimes you also don't
then
win.
Nobody blocks and nobody tackles and it's a problem.
Right. You need the blocking and tackling people.
Okay, so as we wrap up, Texans have made a trade with Minnesota. Texans have sent their number one pick at number 23 to Minnesota for pick number 42, and then an exchange of some picks, and then the Texans get Minnesota's number two pick next year. So the Texans are out of the first round, but they have 2 second-round picks, and they have an extra second next year. And now Minnesota has 11-23.
Interesting.
So what are they going to do with 11-23? Most people think they're going to package them and go up to get one of the top quarterbacks. Daniel Jeremiah says this morning that he is hearing right now from his NFL sources 4 of the 6 picks in the draft, which begins on April the 25th, will be quarterbacks. And that Minnesota will likely move up. They'll take 11-23 and package it to go up and get Drake May from North Carolina.
It makes a lot of sense.
Oh, but what's really exciting is if 4 quarterbacks go,
who's left on the board?
Well, that's fantastic. What does that move closer to Tennessee?
Yeah.
Because with the Chargers trading Keenan Allen to the Bears, the Chargers need a wide receiver. You would have to figure at number 5, they're going to take a wide receiver.
Yeah, you would think.
Mm-hmm. So then, I mean, if we know one pick's a receiver and we think 4 of the first 6 are quarterbacks, then what does that move towards the Titans?
That's the interesting thing about where the Titans are picking is even though the Titans aren't in the market for a quarterback, you've got to pay attention to the whole quarterback dance because it impacts who remains on the boards and then are pushed down so much that you have to, you have to want something like that to happen because that's incredible. The more quarterbacks that can go early, the better for the rest of us back here. That is fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but then there are also rumors today that New England is very interested in trading with Chicago for Justin Fields. So then would New England be that team at number 3 that wants to get out for a team like Minnesota? Because if they have their quarterback in Fields, then they're not going to pick one. And so does that get more interesting with how everything rolls? And would you see New England, let's say hypothetically, they make the trade, they drop back to 11, would they want to then move up and get something at, say, 7 and be willing to offer a 3rd-round pick or something else in order to get that?
I don't know. New England not drafting in the draft is a tradition unlike any other.
It truly is. We should get Jim Nantz to say that.
It's real, though. Hoard draft picks. They never actually pick any players. It's the craziest thing.
Do you think maybe they figured out that's why they are where they are right now?
I think there's a really good chance they're regretting some choices right now. But, you know, they've got a lot of new stuff going on, and maybe it'll all turn out fine. But the Patriots not picking anybody? Sure, yeah. That's a movie I've seen.
That's going to do it. For Amy Wells, I'm Mike Keith, thanking you for joining us for the OTP. Welcome to the big show, where the legends go. Everybody knows.